Yeah, wow. Yeah. So, I'm going through a pretty decent transition. I've been working bivocationally, doing sales and ministry, and starting Monday, it'll be my last day of the bivocation. I'll be focusing on ministry. So it's so cool how God works, how I'm here today. I feel like this is kind of like a kickoff weekend for that. And I'd like to thank everyone for coming out today and braving the cold after the snowstorm and everything. This past week, I've been working from home, and I don't know, who else has cabin fever? It's just, you know, with these frigid temperatures for so long, and I've been working at home, so this is really nice to come out and gather in community with fellowship. It's with this cold weather, like nonstop. Honestly, Margie and I, my wife, we've been seriously considering moving. Like with this weather, who's been thinking about like Florida, going to Florida? Doesn't Florida, moving to Florida sound so appealing right about now? And so in the past few weeks, right, we've been serious about this, and we've been decluttering. And going through rooms, and we even planned it. It's like, what do you want to do tonight? I said, why don't we spend 45 minutes and go in the basement and with a contractor bag and let's fill it up. So that's what we've been doing, and it's good to have dreams, and it's good to, you know, look and dream for more. And that's why I was so excited to hear when I was sampling some recent sermons that were done by Pastor Dave and Joe even, and it seems that the Awakened Church has a vision for 2022 for this new year. Part of that vision is to follow Jesus, right? And I'm so excited to hear that because that's what it's all about, following Jesus. How do we follow Jesus in 2022, in this day and age? You know, there's, of course, you know, if you look at what's going on, like, locally, nationally, even globally, and even, you know, we're not even getting to, like, you know, with, you know, the pandemic or things like that, there's just so much going on, so much weight, and what a noble vision, a noble dream to say, as a community, we want to follow Jesus in 2022. That's where that's the steps we're taking to. That's where we're moving towards. And our vision is to follow Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants for us, right? That's what he wants. Jesus is a disciple maker. He wants more of him present in the world. So, do any of us dream? You know, we sure do. You know, we dream of, say, getting a degree in school. We dream of furthering our career, perhaps. We dream of vacations. We dream of, say, moving or all sorts of things that we dream about. And we actually, hopefully, work towards some of these dreams to make them a reality. But a dream, to be a true dream, it has to be radical. It has to be big. Like, it's not like no one dreams of going to the diner next week. It has to be big, something big. Following Jesus, that is something big. That is something radical. That is something that you could get behind, and that's worth putting the effort into. Or is following Jesus merely a wish? Is it some fantastic wish, like fantasy? No, following Jesus, it's a good dream. It's a vision worth pursuing. Jesus says in John 8:12, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life." So, without following Jesus, we're basically walking in darkness. We're traveling in darkness. And it's not very fun traveling in darkness. You miss out on all the sights. On the, you know, if you're going on a long trip, you're missing out on the cows and the barns and the bridges and the rivers and the beautiful sky. Traveling in the darkness, in ancient times, you set yourself up for robbers or wild beasts. Traveling in the light, that's where the joy is. That's where you get to experience things. So Jesus says, yeah, whoever follows me, yeah, you'll be walking and traveling in the light. So first of all, can we talk about the type of following that Jesus is referring to? You know, with this snowstorm, it's not the type of following of, say, you're on a snowy highway, say you're on the sawmill or something, and it's snowing, snow's pouring down, and there's snow drifts, and then you see a nice, big, huge snowplow ahead of you, a big truck, and that truck is out there, and it's cutting the snow and plowing it out, and you're following safely behind, enjoying the nice, smooth ride. That's not the following that Jesus is talking about. It's certainly not the following of, like, following someone on Twitter. That's not the following. The image I was getting of following Jesus, it was that came to mind. It was like just popped into my head. Following Jesus, it's perhaps like a Martin Luther King Jr. march, where you're locked arms in arms and you're following, but you're going right. Every movement, you're going together, you're in it together, you're in it side by side together, and you're experiencing it together. You're intertwined in the movement, you're intertwined in the cause, in the vision, in the dream. And that's powerful, because you're experiencing it together. You're, like we say, Jesus is in us and we're in him. And then the next slide is showing how when you, like, walk in that posture of intertwined with one another, like, it sends ripples. It creates still more followers. And like, look at the passion on some of the faces there. To have a dream, a bold dream, it's good to be passionate. It's good to be bold. I mean, here we have lives at stake. You know, some people are really hurting. If ever in the world that we needed more followers, real followers, locked arm in arm with Jesus, is like right now, is today, literally today. Like, the world is groaning for followers of Jesus. And if we look at some of these pictures, like, you could kind of tell that they're locked arm in arm, but they didn't meet each other until they went to that event. Like, and these are strangers coming together, and you may be like, oh, you know, like, we're so used to having our personal space, you know, even 6 feet. But here, these are strangers coming together, locked arm in arm, and it doesn't feel weird. It feels natural. It feels like community, and that's their dream, is to have brotherhood and community. So that's what's really, you know, interesting. That's the type of following, the intensity of the following that I believe Jesus is calling us for. And if we look at a little more about following in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, and this is the ESV version. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, when we read that verse or that passage, We get fixated on "the truth will set you free." And that may be the only thing we remember, is "the truth will set you free," because we want to be free. And it's freedom from what? It's freedom from sin, freedom from all that stuff that keeps us back from Jesus. But that's the end result, like, to be set free. To be set free. So let's take this apart here, and we'll look at it a little more. And I think it's worth looking at a little more. We'll look at the Amplified Bible version. And in the Amplified Bible, it has "the truth will make you free." It has a little subheading. So Jesus, and this is how they interpret it. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. So now it's going a little deeper. So following is obeying. They're going a little deeper. If we look at the easy-to-read version, I didn't even realize there was an easy-to-read version. And here they have a little nuance in their subtitle. Jesus talks about freedom from sin. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue to accept and obey my teachings, you are really my followers. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So let's stop and look, and let's go even like exactly what's going in here, because there's a lot packed in here, really. And let's see what is at the heart of following, because if we're going to follow, let's follow. Like, let's really follow. Let's follow the way Jesus wants us to follow. So here we have, "if you abide." And the Greek for that is episkeinoo. Episkeinoo. And that means to rest upon. And even more so, it means, I was like studying and going into it, I found that it means to set your tent upon. So if you're traveling, where do you want to rest? So it's where you set your tent. All right, I'm going to rest upon here. All right, there's all wilderness and woods and everything, but this is going to be our home base. This is going to be our humble abode for the next few days. We're going to put this stake tent, you know, the stakes in the ground, set up the tent, and we're going to rest here. So to abide is to rest upon. So Jesus, what he's saying is, if you rest upon me, if you rest upon my word, that's what he's calling us to rest upon him. And the Greek for a word is logos. That's where modern translation, like logic, comes from, that logos. Also in the Greek, it's the connotations are speech, of course, reasoning. It could be a whole subject, a way of doing things. And think about a word. What's a word? You know, the Bible is the written word, but those written words are from speech. And that speech comes from our thoughts. But where do our thoughts come from? Our thoughts come from our heart. Just think about it. Say we have a bitter heart. Say we have resentment in our heart or bitterness in our heart. Then how much easier it is to have bitter thoughts, resentful thoughts. And then the next thing that starts happening is we start having bitter speech. So the word is essentially, when Jesus says, "abide in my word," he's essentially saying, rest upon, set your tent upon, your domicile, like set your living on, it's a foundation, upon my heart, upon my reasoning, on the way I do life. Set your heart upon my word. Then from there it goes, well, it's really like set your sights upon my way of doing things. And like in John 1, you could easily translate that, "in the beginning was the way, and the way was with God." Because the way of Jesus doing things. Because in the beginning, God spoke. Like, he didn't have a Bible. There was no papyrus or writing anything down. In the way was the way God spoke, the way God handled things, the way God attacked chaos. And that way was good. So in the beginning was the way. So if you abide in my word, if you abide in the way I handle the world, and you follow, that's the type of following, like abiding. Like to abide by something, you abide by a contract, you follow the contract. But this is intense following where you're putting your stakes in the ground. Then you are truly my disciples. And a disciple is a student, right? You're truly my students. And the goal of a student is to learn everything the teacher teaches you, so you can go out and do the same. So if you're a surveyor, you're going to learn from your your teacher and you're going to go out and do surveying, or whatever you're learning from your teacher, you're going to go out and do that. And you will know. So if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But let's look at know. It's the same exact know in the Greek that is used in Matthew 1:25, where in Matthew it says, but Joseph knew not Mary until she had given birth. So that type of knowing is, again, that intertwining. We saw the arms locked and intertwined. To know someone before they were, you know, when you're married on your marriage night, to know someone that intimately, you're intertwined. This is like marriage language, like that type of knowing. This is intense knowing. It's not head knowledge. This is when you're abiding in God, in Jesus's heart. When you abide in Jesus's heart, when you focus and set your sights on anyone's heart, then you will truly know them intimately. Hopefully so much so where their thoughts will become your thoughts and your thoughts will mirror their thoughts, especially when we're talking about Jesus. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, what's holding us back? So if we just mentioned bitterness or resentfulness, you'll be set free from that. Like anything that's holding you back, anything that's not of God, any type of sin, you'll finally be set free. And it's all about that abiding, putting your life rested on the foundation of Jesus, that type of abiding, that type of following. So following Jesus actually looks like, what does it look like? Is following Jesus hard? Perhaps yes. Like if we look at Jesus' life and we compare it to ours, like, wow, that's like, is that even possible? Or perhaps is following Jesus easy? Is it only our thoughts keeping us from following Jesus? Does it have to be hard? Did Jesus get it wrong when he said, you know, my yoke is easy? Did he get that wrong? I don't think so. So, like, the thing is, we've never really followed Jesus, locked arm in arm. Like, it's so easy to follow, like, a pastor or follow even an apostle. But to actually say, this year, I'm going to follow Jesus. This year, we are going to follow Jesus. This is the year that groans for, like the world is longing for Jesus to show up. And until he does, he's relying on us. That's why he poured into the apostles. He's created disciples. The world needs Jesus everywhere. So to follow Jesus, Jesus was Jesus 24/7. Whether he was preaching at the temple, walking through a town square, going on a boat ride, Jesus was always Jesus. And he's like, well, what about the times he had to get away from it all and went to a garden and prayed or a mountaintop? Jesus was still being Jesus in prayer, in solitude, in meditation. Jesus was always being Jesus. So I have attention. We have attention. We want to follow Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We admire Jesus. We gather on Sundays to worship Jesus. We may gather on a Wednesday night to pray and things like that. But in short, are we actually becoming Jesus? Well, do people see the Jesus in us? Like, my tension is, I'm not Jesus 24/7. Like, I turn it on and off. Like, now we're all on. We're in our Jesus mode. But there's sometimes at the end of a long, hard day, especially with, you know, these dark nights and everything, like sometimes you're frazzled, you're worn out. And I hear it, I get the nudge, the Holy Spirit nudge, go into prayer. That will be your refuge. And I say, no, thank you. It seems like too much effort. I just want to unwind, zone out, and turn on the TV or get lost on my phone. It seems to be easier for me. And I just tune out. And I'm not Jesus all the time. Or I could be with passing someone on the street, and I see there's some brokenness there with a crutch. Or sometimes you could see pain on someone's face, and you could see they're having a rough day. Sometimes you can see pain, someone's face, and you can tell they had a rough life. And sometimes I don't have that energy to be Jesus to them, and I pass. I just take a pass. That's the tension. Jesus was Jesus 24/7. But it's okay. This is like new for us to be Jesus. Like, we've never had this goal. Like, the best we've maybe hoped for is to maybe follow the Apostle Paul or something. But we know Paul struggled. The things he wanted to do, he had trouble doing and all that. So Paul had the same struggles as us. Like, this is the year to go straight to the top, to follow Jesus. So that's the tension. So you want to follow Jesus? Let's look at Jesus. Like, I encourage you in the weeks ahead, look at the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, look at them. Look at them all. John, look at all four Gospels. Read them over and over. And look, paying attention. Look how Jesus does Jesus. You know, if you're going to follow him, that's where you're going to start. You know, look at that. Look how, and you'll notice when you're looking at the four Gospels that Jesus did a lot of multitasking. Jesus did a lot of pouring into disciples, right? He poured into the disciples for three long, hard years. And Jesus, he lived, he ate, he slept, he drank 24/7 with the apostles, pouring into them, teaching them. So if we want to be Jesus, we want to be pouring into people. You know, so think of ways how I can be pouring into people. Jesus was deliberate. He multitasked, like I said. So he would take his 12 disciples. You know, they had a lot of teachings and things. Then he would take them out on some field trips, right? They'd go out to town square. They'd go out on a trip from one town to another. They'd go on a boat ride. And these were all teaching opportunities, all field trips. And they would do lots of neat things, you know? They would do lots of neat things. They would sometimes they would do outreach. They would do a potluck, and who had the two fishes, who has the five loaves, and they would run a potluck and feed the whole, community there. And or Jesus, when he was in a situation, Jesus would spot out in the crowd who is the most broken person in the room, who is the most humble and repentant, or someone who's yearning for change, yearning for freedom, yearning to be set free. Jesus had a knack for looking in the crowd, if it was a crowd by a pool or the town square, even, you know, the woman by the well. He knew she was broken. And Jesus was drawn to that. So Jesus had eyes, and a good prayer for that is when you start your day is, God, show me, like, who you want me to interact with out of all the sea of people that I may see as I'm traveling at work or if I go to the supermarket. Who's that one person that you want me to connect with? Like, who is that? Show me, Holy Spirit. This is all so new to me. So why do we follow Jesus? It may not be why you think, you know. What naturally would come to mind, and it always came to my mind, well, I want to follow Jesus because I want to be a better person, because I want to follow Jesus because I want to grow. I want to grow in my walk. I want to experience that. Now, if we look at why Jesus did Jesus, like, Jesus didn't need any personal growth. Like, Jesus had it made up in heaven. He was seated at the right hand of the Father and is. Yet he came to earth not to enrich himself, not for his own personal gain, Jesus didn't say, I think I need some self-help and I'm going to go to earth and I want to grow and experience that. I think it'll be a good role for me to have. It'll broaden my resume. No, Jesus didn't come for himself, no self-motives, no selfish motives. Jesus came to earth to help others. He came to earth to rescue others. He came to earth to minister to others. He came solely to rescue us and save us from our sins. Jesus came to earth so we could to restore relationship. Jesus came to earth to restore relationship with our Heavenly Father. So it wasn't about him, it wasn't about growing, and it wasn't about him feeling good. It was about washing the feet of the disciples. It was about, being perfect and sometimes being not appreciated in a town. It was about giving your blood, sweat, and tears for 3 years, serving people, healing them, raising the dead. And in return, what did he receive? The cross. So that there was no personal gain. There was no chest of gold. He came to serve others. And Jesus says, you want to be a great leader? Be the greatest servant. Be the most humble servant. Then you will be the great leader. So it's totally outward focused, totally outward focused. So that's Jesus. If we want to follow Jesus, that's what we're looking at. So really ask yourself, can I drink from that cup? And Jesus wants us to drink from that cup. The world needs us to drink from that cup. As hard as it is when you're doing it, while you're doing it, as you're experiencing breakthrough, as you're growing in knowing God, in knowing Jesus, becoming one, him and us, us and him, you'll probably never want to do life ever again. You'll probably never want to do life as you've done it before. So, we can say, all right, we're going to read the Gospels, we're going to go out and we're going to start following Jesus. But wait, let's stop. There's a pre-step. Before we can even do that, we want to do that, but we have to think about that. It's actually, there's a pre-step before we can even get to the step of following Jesus. And let's look at Acts 2, verse 38 through 41. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So Peter's saying, repent and be baptized. And of course, that sounds extremely familiar. Because before the pre-step, before Jesus ever came on the ministry scene, we have John the Baptist. Of course, John the Baptist, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So the pre-step for Jesus, Jesus was coming. John the Baptist was like, hey, everyone, Jesus is coming soon and he's going to start his ministry. So our pre-step is, let's look at our sins. Let's look at our hearts. And let's clear our hearts. Let's renew our hearts. Let's be totally cleansed. Let's be baptized. Let's be born again. Let's wipe our slate clean so we can receive with full arms. Let's get rid of all that stuff, all that clutter we've been carrying that's slowing us down, weighing us down, that we literally are tripping over if we're talking about our basements or our attics or our garages, my garage. We're literally tripping over it. Let's clear that clutter away of resentment, or all that sin obstacle, anything that is not of Jesus, not of God, let's start looking at that. And I'll share with you a nice moment I had this week in preparation for gathering with you all today. I said, let me, in my prayer, Father, let's examine, you know, my sins. Let's really examine them, because I want to be free of them. So I knew that before going into the prayer I was going to do that. And I never have a notepad with me, never, ever, ever in my life. But this time I happened to have a notepad with me and a pen. And I went into the prayer, and I was like, and I knew three things were going to come up, three sins that were going to come up. And, of course, they did. And we addressed them, and I was like, Father, yeah, I don't want to be doing that. Like, this is what I want to be doing, and will you forgive me? And, of course, and so I did the three, and then, Father, is there anything else? Reveal it to me. Search my heart. And he came up with the fourth, and so we worked through that. And I said, is there anything else? Then he came up with the fifth. I'm like, really? And then he came up with the sixth. I'm like, wow. I guess you're. I'm looking at you. You are right. You are absolutely 100% right. And then there was a seventh. And then there was an eighth. And I only thought there were going to be three. And then there was possibly a ninth. I think if we count them up, there were like nine. And we're going through them all. And this took like quite a bit because we're really seriously addressing them and looking at motives and asking for forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. And then I go, is there anything else? And then there was just like no nudges, no thoughts, no impulses. And it was then I got this vision of a down feather floating in the air, being suspended in the air. And I go, oh, thank you. I feel free. I feel light. I know. I don't feel forgiven. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm clean and white as snow. And then 2 days later, I had a scheduled appointment with my mentor, and we were able to go through all nine things on the list. And I shared with him the moment I had, and I shared, because it's good, confess your sins to one another. If you have a sin, you might be thinking, oh, okay, I know I shouldn't have this thought or this emotion or whatever. I'm dealing with it. I'm working with it. You can deal with it for years on your own. There is power in following Jesus. Jesus says, confess your sins to one another, or Scripture says, confess your sins. There's power in doing that. There's power in the spoken word. There's power in shedding disinfecting light on your sins. There's power in sharing it and confessing it to one another. And things that you've been struggling with or thinking you could handle it for years and years and years, you could have that broken instantly. Like, Jesus' yoke is easy. So if we've decided, you know, we're really gonna dream big, and you know, whoever's thinking of like moving, going to Florida or something, right? Step one is getting rid of that clutter. You're throwing things out. You're donating things. You're having a garage sale. You're getting rid of all that clutter. Search your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Get rid of all that clutter. Just repent of it. Be free of it. So that brings us to our invitation, right? So to follow Jesus, we confess our sins to one another. We repent. We renew our hearts and our minds. So we sin no more, but rather we do the beautiful opposite reaction. So as we go about our days now, we've cleaned our slate, we've repented, we're able to receive the ministry of Jesus. So now that gets into, okay, Jesus, like, I'm reading your Gospels, I'm really reading them, I'm really with eyes tuned and ears sharp to see what you say and what you're doing. And slowly, Holy Spirit, show me how to emulate some of this. So, like, Jesus was Jesus 24/7. So be Jesus 24/7. So while you're at work or while you're driving to work, while you're taking phone calls, while you're doing anything, be Jesus. So here I get so many spam phone calls on my phone, but sometimes I'll get a nudge or I'd answer it. Like, and I get some poor salesperson And I've done sales all my life, so I get what they go through. And you know that thing, like, I'm here to sell, this is a click, or I'm here like, no thank you, click, or whatever, leave me alone, click. So I answered it knowing, and I knew before I even answered, whatever they have, I don't need. And of course, I didn't need it. So they go through the just two sentences into their sales call, and I go, you know what, I really don't need that. And, but, you know, I like to, I admire what you're doing. You had a really nice presentation. I like to pray, and since, you know, I have no need for your thing, you have so much extra time in your call because you thought you were going to, you know, talk and convince me, but could I pray for you? I just feel led to, like, pray for you. And I actually did this, and the person was like, yeah, okay. And I prayed. I said, you know, Father, like, bless them. Let thank you for that servant's heart, because he's actually looking to, you know, with his service to help somebody with what they have to sell. And Father, you know, just bless their day. Give them the confidence or give them the encouragement to continue so they can provide for their family, and let them conduct their sales calls in a way that is honest and truthful and in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. So bless their day. May this be like one of the best days they have, and may this even spill over to their coworkers at the phones next to them. And whatever I said, I don't even remember what I said, but when I was done, it was like, thank you. Like, I needed to hear that. So that's a small way. Like, the least we can do for someone is pray for them. Like, that's the very least we can do. So if you're at the supermarket and you see someone on crutches or a wheelchair, or you see they're having a bad day, I'm not asking you, Jesus is not asking you to buy them pay for their grocery cart. He's not asking you. Jesus is not even asking you to heal them. Like, Jesus will do the healing. We are being called and invited to pray. Like, Jesus did so many praying. Like, he saw someone broken, he prayed for them. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. That's something we could easily do, is pray for somebody and pray for somebody and pray for somebody. And you're going to have to do a lot of praying. The pre-step would be, Holy Spirit, okay, I see somebody broken, and I'm going to walk up to them. I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know what to say. But by the time I get to their Holy Spirit, you're going to have to give me the words, because I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask, I, for some reason, feel led to pray for you. You know, what would you like Jesus to do for you today? Like, it's going to be awkward, but any college course, any sport you've taken up, anything new is awkward and clumsy at the beginning, but it's natural. So you don't have to beat yourself up. That's a lie from the enemy. Oh, you're going to end up looking silly if nothing's really on their mind. Like, it's not, it's not about us, how we come out looking. It's about serving the others. It's about ministering to them. It's not about us looking silly. And so I want you to, like, it's okay. Like, be ready for that whisper lie from the enemy. Oh, you're only going to look like a fool. No, that's a total lie. No. Nine times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, you're going to be a blessing to the other person. That is the truth. So how can we be Jesus, right? Jesus did a lot of disciple making. Sign up to be a Sunday school teacher. Sign up to be a substitute Sunday school teacher. Jesus did a lot of fellowship. You could start a Bible study, attend a Bible study, like community, fellowship. Jesus did a lot of praying, as we said. So there's different ways. And as you get into meditative prayer and you're studying the Gospels and seeing how Jesus, like, did life, the Holy Spirit will open doors for you. Like, it all starts with desire, like true desire of your heart. So if you truly desire to be Jesus, and I hope everyone takes up that challenge, then you will change lives. We will change lives. So what a noble vision. I encourage you to stick with it. This is not like a New Year's resolution. This is not a fad. Like, following Jesus is not saying, it's not like, you know, I want to lose 15 pounds or whatever, I want to do treadmill time. Following Jesus, it's a way of life. It's the reason Jesus died on the cross, you know, so we can do life in community with him. That's the end result. Every scripture, arguably, is so we follow Jesus. The whole point of studying any scripture is so we ultimately imitate Jesus. So the vision for 2022, follow Jesus. Let that be your vision, basically, for all the days of our lives.